The Lord's drying up the preaching of His word in this nation. What will I do? What will you do? He commanded us to pray, didn't He? Let's ask Him. Let's ask Him. All right. If you will, turn to 2 Kings 23. 2 Kings 22. If you have trouble finding it, it's just to the right of 1 Kings. 2 Kings 22. I preach a whole lot about Jaylee's middle name. I preach a whole lot about Johanna's middle name. Josiah ain't got to you yet. These people don't know why your name Josiah. I'm going to tell them. Okay? I knew some young men in this nation. When they were born, their fathers prayed to the Lord that they knew that God would use them. They didn't know what they asked. He did. And He will. 2 Kings 22, verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old. Josiah. Do you know what that word means? Make sure they get a whole bunch of ups and downs. You don't know. Good. I'll tell you. Founded of the Lord. Josiah means founded of the Lord. What's that? The foundation that the Lord sent. Foundation of the Lord. That's what his name means. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. Made it till he's 39 years old. I got him beat by a few years. And his mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adai of Boscath. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in all the way of David, his father. David wasn't his immediate father, but he was of the household of David. He walked just like David did. And turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. He turned not aside. He didn't go to the right and he didn't go to the left. What a thought. What a thought. What did the foundation of the Lord do? He said, for the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. I ain't confused in what I'm doing. That's what he said. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He didn't turn to the right hand or to the left hand. Boy, what I'd give for grown, I get what I give for 8 year olds. That sought the truth of God, sought Christ, and didn't turn away and didn't get distracted by junk on the right and junk on the left. This fella's a real fella, buddy. King Josiah. He was 8 years old and began to reign. A lot of people discount that, don't they? Well, I mean, he had handlers. Our Lord told us in Matthew 19, He said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Don't you discount those children. If you're 80, what's that in eternity? You ain't that old, are you? No. Well, the difference between 8 and 80 and infinite, there's no difference. It's a vapor, isn't it? Our Lord said, verily. He said, truly, of a truth. You pay attention to what He's saying. He said, I say unto you, except ye be converted. You been converted? Have you been baptized with the Holy Ghost? Except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. This thing of children may be important, huh? It's a good thing. It's good to encourage them. Our Lord told us that in Ecclesiastes 12. He said, remember now thy Creator. Know who God is in the days of thy youth, when you're young. What's our responsibility in that? Our responsibility is to put them under the sound of the gospel. Not buy the right curriculum, not get the right coloring books, not have our broke uncles come in and crazy aunts come teach them something. No, it's to put them underneath the sound of the gospel. That's where, have I told you that before? You'd be amazed what them children learn, isn't it? We quote this, don't we? But we stop short. Oh, how often we do that. Out of the mouth of babes. That was on a TV show we saw. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength. For what? Why did he ordain strength in the mouth of babes and sucklings? Because of thine enemies. He made little children say things boldly and plainly that they've been taught of God to their enemies. Old John Newton said, you want to know a man? Ask, you go talk to his wife, and she'll tell you how he is, isn't it? That's what a man says. What did God say? The foes will be those of his own household. Is that what God said? Who cares what John Newton said? What God say? He said, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal, that you might shut up the enemy. Little children ask you some things. Why you pray every time you eat dinner and say, bless us to our bodies? You don't pray when you eat ice cream. Oh, boy, that'll get you. They'll call you out, won't they? A small child. If God gives a word, if God's teaching children something, if he teaches an 8-year-old something, they'll say 1 minute of truth and 59 minutes of muddying it up and explaining it away won't undo it. Man can stick to his doctrine and he can stick to his theology as hard as he wants, but if God teaches an 8-year-old something, you can't undo it. His enemies can't undo it. God will sustain them. God's word's been spoken and it won't return unto him void. It won't do it. Has this happened other times? Is this just a one-off, this King Josiah, this one that's the foundation of the Lord? What about Samuel? Hannah took him to the temple, didn't he? She said, Lord, I turn him over to you. He's yours. Do with him as you will. That sounds churchy until they're on the other side of the world. That sounds churchy until you're on your deathbed and that one you love so much is working on the other side of the continent. Is that right? If they know the Lord, they're okay with it. It still hurts. They still weep. But they're all right with it. Samuel was took down there to the temple. God used him mightily as a prophet. David was a teenager. Jesse didn't even fetch him. He's out there tending sheep. He's 16 and a half years old or whatever. Just learn how to drive. He don't know nothing. He ain't going to be no king. Was he king? He was God's king. This is important stuff. What did our Lord do when he was 12? He said, I must be about my father's business. Well, not discount these things, huh? If someone is founded of the Lord, Josiah's name, then as Paul said, there's no other foundation that man can lay which is laid. And it's a person, buddy. You got it right. Jesus Christ. Don't listen to nobody. Don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left. The Lord said you forsake your mother and father and your brother and sister, and you listen to what he says. Somebody heard me this week. A couple people did. And I'm thankful. God might still be using me. I'm thankful. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he asked a question to a bunch of religious people. He asked a question to a bunch of people who went to church for a long time. You been going to church for a long time? Let's ask you that question. He said, did you never read the scripture, the stone which the builders rejected, that foundation, that cornerstone? The same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. He's done that. And it is marvelous in our eyes? Question mark. That same stone, is it marvelous? Is that foundation that you can't lay, he must lay through the preaching of the gospel, is that marvelous to you? Or are we going to undo it? Young or old, he's the person of our salvation. And he's marvelous. He's marvelous. That's a good question to ask, isn't it? Is that stone marvelous to you? Are you going to just say, and go back to church? Are we bound to a person? A person. Our doctrine of Christ. A person of our salvation. Salvation's of the Lord. Josiah was prophesied. He's a picture of Christ. Just as Christ was. It says in 1 Kings 13, and behold, there came a man of God out of Judah. God sent his prophet out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense, and he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord. And he said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born in the house of David, Josiah by name, founded of the Lord. And upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee. He's talking to the altar. You get that? There's a thing they burn stuff on. It's a barbecue grill. And he said, hey, altar, altar, Josiah's coming, and he's going to burn them preachers over there on you. And you're going to be ash. 40 days. Go that. He's going to burn it down. And men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. That's what the prophet came and said. God gave him that word. That's what he said. Was there somebody else that the birth was foretold to burn some bones up, to crush some skulls? Crush a skull. Our Lord's birth was given. It said wonderful. And he was given a name too. A child is born, son's given, right? And his name was given. Wonderful. Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Or Matthew 1, you're going to bring forth a son, you shall call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from something, from what they are, sin. Save them from their sins. He has a name, and he's going to do something. You get that? He's going to accomplish something. Just like Josiah, just like men and women, sent of God in this day. God calls them, God equips them, and they're going to do something. He's going to use them. If he's got servants, they don't sit idly by. He uses them, don't they? Servants chosen by God for his glory, and he makes them profitable. He's a good master. He's a good master. We love him. Bore my ear through. I'm yours. I ain't going nowhere. I love my wife. I love my children. I love you first. I'm a willing bond slave. He makes us profitable. A key to that prophet that came and talk to the altar. The king there was standing by listening. He tried to swoon that prophet. Said, Josiah's coming. They're going to burn up all this religion. We don't want this to come to an end. We got a good thing going. Oh, remember the good old days? Oh, remember how much fun we used to have? Remember how you used to sit around and talk for hours? Oh, and we talked about the reformers and we talked about the pure. Remember those good old days? We don't want that to go away. So he took that prophet and he said, you come by my house. I'm going to give you a gift. I'm going to feed you and I'm going to give you. And that just, you can't swoon a man of God. You met Josiah, you ain't going to be able to handle him. Nothing's changed. Go down to southeast Kentucky, way out in the hills, you're going to find a fellow down there from Utah named Tom Harding. Swoon him. Can't be done. Can't be done. He's solid. That king said unto the man, he said, come home with me and refresh yourself. I'll give you a reward. And that man of God said unto the king, if thou wilt give me half of thine house, you give me half of everything you own, I will not go with thee. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water this day. I don't even want a glass of water from you. Beat it. Well, that ain't like all them smooth-talking preachers I'm used to come by and sip coffee with little old ladies. We've heard Don say it 1,000 times, ain't we? Have you heard him say it a lot? Is it soaked in once? A preacher's job ain't meant to go sip tea with little old ladies, is it? That sounds right, don't it? Now, when you're the little old lady, we'll get our feelings hurt because we think we're somebody, and we ought to, right? Not those. He was on a mission. That prophet was. Josiah was on a mission. And this is a true story. Just like all the kings made faithful throughout time, it's a picture of our Lord. That's what it is. Look over in chapter 23, verse 35, just a page over. 2 Kings 23:25. And like unto him, was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses, neither after him there arose there any like him. This is speaking of a man. It's speaking of the God-man. Ain't nothing like Christ. He turned his whole heart and soul and might and everything and every jot and every tittle was fulfilled in the whole law, the whole word of God. And ain't nothing like him. Not before, not after. It's a person. He's marvelous. Ain't nothing like him. Ain't nothing like him. He's mentioned here in 2 Kings. His story is mentioned over in 2 Chronicles. And it said that Jeremiah wrote lamentations about him whenever he died. The place mourned. They had a king God gave and they loved him. Those that loved the Lord loved him. Them other ones, buddy, they hit the ground running. They tried fighting him. Didn't work out. Well, here in chapter 22. 2 Kings 22. Josiah's come. In verse 3 through 7, Josiah was 26 years old. And he sent word unto the high priest to get a financial report. He said, we're going to remodel and we're going to spruce up the Lord's temple. And there's a lot to be learned in those verses. There was no accounting of the money that gave to the tradesmen. They were faithful. And man was working as unto the Lord. But we'll handle that another day. This is a true story. You put yourself in this story. That's what we don't want to be spectators. We don't want to be spectators to the gospel. We don't want somebody else singing for us, somebody else praying for us, somebody else reading for us. We want to and listening for someone else to hear it. We don't want to be spectators. You'll die and go to hell doing that. We want to be engaged in it. We want the Lord to bring us in and teach us something, don't we? Put ourselves in this. What would you do? A 26-year-old king says, we're going to put new floors and we're going to paint. let's just do it the way we've always been doing it, okay? Well, hey, I want a different accounting. And we live through that. I want the books done right. Well, now, we've always done it this way. He's just a kid. He can't know as much as we know, right? He's 26 years old. Lord's going to use him. Don't matter what people think. They ain't going to like him, and he ain't going to care. He found old Hilkiah, and he said, you go do this. And while Hilkiah, they're dusting out stuff and finding a bunch of junk and shelves and things stuck way in the back, he comes across something he had never seen. He'd been a high priest for a long time, and he's never seen this thing. And he had no interest in it, and he had no interest in learning from it, so he gave it away. Look here in verse 8. And Hilkiah, the high priest, said unto Shaphan, the scribe, I found a book of the law in the house of the Lord. Well, that's the books of Moses. This here's the writing of the Lord. It's probably got the Psalms with it. I found this book, and it's here in the house of the Lord. Who knew? Has anything changed? What'd you grow up with? You grew up in a church where they didn't adhere to the gospel. they might have had a book. They sure didn't read it. And they sure didn't learn nothing from it. And they haven't been taught from it because they don't know God. And here's this high priest. And he's like, here's some book. What'd he do with it? And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. Hilkiah didn't even read it. Didn't even crack it open. Well, I got a Bible in my hand. Well, good. Read it. Maybe you ought to open the thing every now and then. And Shaphan, he goes back to Josiah to report, and he tells him all the important stuff. How the building's coming along, how the money's doing. Look here in verse 9. And Shaphan the scribe came unto the king and brought the king word again and said, thy servants, they've gathered the money that was found in the house. They've delivered to the hand of them that do the work, and everything's going good, and the oversight of the house of the Lord. Construction's going well. Paint looks good. Concrete's drying. Oh, by the way, I got a side note. Now that we found some old book. Look at verse 10. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest have delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king, because he had read it. Something happened when he heard. Something happened when this king heard. What was the verb I said? Heard. Look here in verse 11. And it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, he rent his clothes. He read that, and as a sign of remorse and repentance, he tore his clothes off and cried out to God. Ah! This is real. You get that? We're in a mess. We've offended a holy God. He was convicted of sin. It's not just we done bad things. I know people been convicted of sin. They don't know God. It's just guilt. That's only one of the three, isn't it? That's two-thirds. Good news to a new believer. Convict who we sin against? The righteous one. Christ is righteousness. It's all he ever is. He's holy. That's the holy God we offended. And judgment settled. He's finished the work of salvation. And then once the Lord makes that sure in your hearts and gives you a foundation, all three of them are good news. I'm glad I'm a sinner. I know what I am because God made me so. Holy Ghost come to me. Show me what I am. Have you ever done that? You ever just seen your sin that you sinned against the Holy God and you just wanted to rip your hair out and you couldn't sleep? You watered your pillow. The bed's too short. The blanket's too narrow. When we look at ourselves and our piety and our great educated eyes, how horrible we are. You see him. That's what does it. He rent his mantle. And then he did something. God gave him the faith of Christ to see what he was, to see who Christ was, to see what Christ accomplished. He fulfilled the law, and it did something. That faith of Christ did something. Look at verse 12. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, and Achaim the son of Shaphan, and Akbor the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Ashiah, and servant of the king, saying, go ye, inquire the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all of Judah. You get the whole outfit, and you go pray right now. That's your job. Do it. We give you, that's why you make a big bucks. You're on salary. You get 110%, Hilkiah. Now get to it. You ain't been praying to the holy God we offended. You and the whole outfit, go. And you do it for me. You go pray for me. And you pray for all the people. And you pray for this whole country. What? Well, what did we pray for this morning or earlier? Lord, send somebody to preach your word. Raise up laborers in this harvest. Raise up somebody to take care of them. If you're pleased, forgive us. Be merciful to us. Show us your promises. Same things we always, you think he asked me anything different? You go pray. Take a whole outfit. For this, for great is the wrath of the Lord that's kindled against us. Why? Because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book. Oh, here's a good fella. They know God? Sure didn't act like it. Sure didn't know anything about him. Didn't know nothing about mercy and grace and love and long-suffering and the blood of Christ towards us. While we were sinners, while we were enemies. Why? I never hated God. You still do. They've sold us a bill of goods. I bought the bill of goods of the fathers, and I had a faithful father. You get that? I bought the bill of goods from this old man that's in me. He said, because we sinned, for our fathers are not hearkening to the words of this book to do according unto all that's written concerning us. Concerning us. Oh, boy. What'd they do? The king come to him. He said, you go pray to God. Go inquire of him. He gave, is that good instruction? Cling to the feet of Christ. Go to his throne of grace. Is that good instruction? That's good instruction. What, did they heed it? No. Look at verse 14. And Hilkiah the priest, and Achaim, and Abkor, and Shaphan, and Ashiah went unto hold of the prophetess. Is that the Lord? That's not the Lord, is it? They didn't do what the king said. Well, the Lord's faithful. They went to hold of the prophetess, the wife of Shalem, the son of Tevach, the sons of Harass, keeper of the wardrobe. Now, she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college. God had, in diverse manners in times past, he spoke to us by the prophets. He had a prophetess and she's in the college. That ought to sort things out about women going to college, ain't it? Ought to be there. Might do them some good. And they communed with her. And she said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell the man that sent you to me, tell him this, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, and all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read. Because they have forsaken me. What did he say the Holy Spirit's going to do? Of sin, because they didn't believe on me. They've forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall ye say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Josiah, as touching the words which thou have heard, those things that you've read and you can't keep, and we're all going to die forever because we deserved it. Here's what God says to him. Because thine heart was tender and because thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord. How'd he get humbled? God humbled him because he heard the word preached. No other way. And so, because your heart was tender, you humbled yourself before the Lord. When thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me. I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. That's it. We could end right there. The word was preached. God made it effectual. We were just cry out to him and get everybody you can find. Let's ask him. Right now. And what's his word to those? He put a new heart in and he humbled. He said, I hear you. I heard you. Oh, that don't give you goosebumps, nothing will, because you're dead. Your graveyard dead. He's heard us, saith the Lord. I also have heard thee. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee into thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered in thy grave in peace. You're going to have some boys, Josiah, and they're going to be evil. God said, I'm going to take you home, and you ain't going to have to see this evil. I know some of God's servants that got took home before a bunch of evil come out the last couple of years, and before some evil that's coming down the pike right now. He spared them. They labored hard. They cut their teeth out there fighting and scrapping and burning down idols. And the Lord said, you don't have to do that no more. I'm going to take you home to your fathers in peace. What's going to happen? He's raised up other men. My turn to cut my teeth. Start chopping some stuff down. Rebuke them sharply with all authority. Right? Is that what the word says? If we love them, we will. He said, I'll gather you and the fathers in the grave in peace, and I shall not see the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought word. They brought the king word again. This time they wouldn't come with the finance reports and how the progress on the building was it? God heard you. You told us to go ask him. Well, we didn't, but he answered anyway. He wanted to. I'll try to go quick. I know it's too long. 2 Kings 23, verse 1. And the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord. He got everybody together. We have a church service. And all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. This here is the king of the children. Bring the youngins with you. Well, no, this is just something for the grown-ups. No, it ain't. Well, this is just something for the men. No, it ain't. Hogwash. Get that out of your head. The king. Didn't he gather? Didn't our Lord gather a bunch of people? He called them to himself when he was up on a mountain. And he's sitting up on that hill and he gathered everybody. And he said, blessed is the poor in spirit. You know what he did? He gave some beatitudes. He preached from those things, didn't he? Look what he says, both small and great. And he read in their ears in case there was any confusion. That's plain, isn't it? He read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant which was found in the house of the Lord. He read every bit of it. We're going to be here for a minute. In the beginning, God. And go all the way through all the books of Moses. That's there for a hot minute, wouldn't it, buddy? In the beginning, God. Do what? Oh, they heard. Now, don't stop there. You tell me a little bit more. Keep going. I want to see what happened. Then he heard about Jacob. That's what he was. He stood and he read to him, didn't he? Verse 3. And the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and all their soul to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. Lord, the best we understand this is what we're doing. We're going to do it the way you say. I'm going to stand by it as best I can. And all the people stood to the covenant. Everybody around him said, us too. There was a public confession and there was a public commitment. That's what that was. What? Well, Josiah then cleans the Lord's house. Verse 4. And the king commanded Hilkiah the high priest and the priests of the second order and the keepers of the door to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal and for the grove. The grove's the Phoenician goddess. And for all the host of heaven, and he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron and carried the ashes of them unto Bethel. He said, it had only been like 50-some years since Hezekiah went through and did all this. 50 years is all it took. There's a Phoenician goddess, a statue inside the temple. There's stuff for Baal hanging inside of that temple. What would we do if the Lord took his hand off of it? Would we run to our works if he wasn't faithful? Or are we faithful? He's faithful. He's faithful. Then, so the building's cleaned up. Now we're going to go to them fellows at work in it. Verse 5. And he put down the idolatrous priests whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the city of Judah and in the places round about Jerusalem, them that burn incense unto Baal, unto the sun, to the moon, the planets, the host of heaven. They burn incense to everything. They had prayer lists this long. Took them 30 minutes to tell everybody it was in a hospital. And he brought out the grove from the house of the Lord without Jerusalem to the book of Kidron and burned it at the book of Kidron and stamped it to small powder and cast the powder thereof upon the graves of the children of the people. He did what? Is this serious? He took the idolatrous priests and the groves and killed them and burned them and stamped it into powder and sprinkled them on their children's graves. What? But now, Kevin, I had never heard us. What in the world are you talking about? The Lord is a man of war. The Lord's his name. That's the holy God we offended. This ain't some white-bearded grandpa that just sweeps stuff underneath the rug. We're in a mess of trouble. We ought to wake up and start acting like it. And if we don't, we'll start tearing junk off these walls. A church building is just something to keep rain off our heads when we sing and pray and preach the gospel in it. That's all that is. Verse 7, he went after those reprobates, and he break down the houses of the Sodomites. That was wrong then, it's wrong now. That were by the house of the Lord where the women wove hangings of the groves. Did he go around and break down all the houses of all the Sodomites? No, he didn't. That wasn't his job. It was the ones by the house of the Lord. The ones that come in right next door and where the women wove hangings to that Phoenician goddess. What's that mean? A bunch of sodomites, those that can't produce life. That's what false religion is. It ain't just the people that's run up down these streets in May or whatever, and the people all around this county, all around this nation, and everything else. It's that. But it's a religion that can't produce life. And they was weaving blankets for Jesus. You want to get your needle out? Are we going to weave blankets for Jesus? We're going to draw cartoons for Jesus? We're going to carve statues for Jesus? We're going to dig wells? I know people dig wells for Jesus. He burned it down. Destroyed it. No, that ain't worshiping God. We're going to do it according to this book. Josiah didn't burn down the drug dens. He didn't burn down the bars and the strip clubs. He was not sent to address those presently experiencing homelessness. He wasn't sent to open up a food kitchen. You get that? He was purging the Lord's land and his house. That's what he was doing. God sent him to do it. Over in 2 Chronicles, it says, in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the house. He purged the land and the house. Does that remind you of a text? Is there something that's brought into remembrance when you hear that he purged the land and the house? What did our Lord do? Who being in the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins. Everything in us we're clinging to, God's going to burn it to the ground if we're his. Or he'll burn you to the ground. He sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Just as Jacob had put his brides put away their idols, didn't he? He buried them underneath the oak tree in Shechem. The Lord puts away our idols. He does it. He's the one that does it. He separates us from those dead works. And he sends us somebody that seems like a brute and says, knock it off. Stop saying that. Don't do that. Quit that. Here's what we're going to do. And I said, well, he's not very personable. Yeah, but he'll be profitable. That's what I love that in that book I gave y'all. That's my favorite. I told Shelby that the other night. That's my favorite line. Lord's servants may not be personable, but they will be profitable. You may not like them. It don't matter if you like them. God's going to use them if you're his. For they themselves show us what manner of entering in we had into you, Paul said to Thessalonica, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and you wait for him to come. Lord did that. He turned you from those idols, clinging to those things and all your Puritans and your daily readings and these schedules of study that's absolutely ridiculous and people tell you not to do. And you're looking for hope in those dead people. Quit it. Look to God. Open his word. Read a little bit of it. I've told you 100 times. Get you a word that's original. Chew it around your mouth and then go out in the street and walk in this community. Not like you're hiding the lamp underneath your basket and act like people believe God out in the world. That's a whole lot nicer than Josiah said it. He just set it on fire. He had a Bic lighter and some lighter. We'll burn this place to the ground. He got them sodomites, didn't he? Some didn't pay attention, verse 9. Some slept through it. Look here at verse 9, what happened. Nevertheless, the priests of the high places came not to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem. They didn't even show up. Well, I got some other stuff to do than go to church today. But they did eat of the unleavened bread among their brethren. Oh, we're just going to have a Lord's table here at the house. We can have church service. I'm going to have a Bible study here in the living room. It'll be fine. And Josiah defiled Topheth, which is in the valley of the children of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or his daughter to pass through the fire of Molech. You don't want to come here and bow to God? We'll just surround you and burn from the outside in. Wouldn't that be something if God sent one of his people in our day to light this world on fire? You talk about a revival. What's it take for a revival? Every time the Lord's done it, he killed half a nation. Hadn't it? I'm serious. When they start praying to him in this nation, back in the 1860s, Antietam, I bet there's some prayers to God, wouldn't they? They call out to him, we've offended somebody. We're going to meet him. That's what brings a revival, a mass kill off. And what if there's somebody that come and told you who you were and who God is, and we ought to bow to him, we ought to serve him, and we're going to do it according to this book? Well, that's right. All right, man. Yeah. Does that pump you up? You get motivated? Maybe God's raising up somebody right now. And they're going to set this place, just, oh, they're going to rip through it. I hope so. That sounds wonderful, Tuck, hits us at home, don't it? You like horses? Let's read the next verse. Verse 11, and he took away the horses that the kings of Judah had given to the sun. Well, now, them are my horses. Now, hold on now. It's all fun and games till it hits us in our living room. You see what happened? Point it to us. I got that. I'm from thoroughbred country. I saw a horse one time on TV. Might know something about it. It sounds good till it hits us. It sounds good to strip him idols till our idols start getting stripped. And that's what people say. Well, no, I'm not holding on to that. Good. Burn it. Well, now, I've had it a long time. God will burn it. He will. His word will. If you're his. Took away the horses the kings of Judah had given a son. He gave the horses to a son, the S-U-N. That's nonsense. At the entering of the house of the Lord by the chambers of Nathan-Melech and the chamberlain, which was in the suburbs, and he burned the chariots of the sun with fire. He tore down all the sodomites' houses. He tore down those guys that didn't even come to church and act like they was playing church at home. He burned every bit of it, didn't he? Was he a respecter of persons? Look at verse 13. And the high places that were before Jerusalem, which were on the right hand of the Mount of Corruption, which Solomon the king of Israel had built up for Ashtora, the abomination of Zidon. In Solomon's later years, he started running around some women he shouldn't have, and he started building them a little something off to the side, didn't he? And the king defiled. That's what it says at the end of the verse. He defiled. Josiah went in and burned every one of them. And he broke in pieces the images and cut down the groves and filled their places with the bones of men. Whatever hole was left, there's some potholes out there. Good, grind their bones up. We'll fill it in. That's brutal, isn't it? And verse 16, and Josiah turned himself and he spied sepulchers that were there in the mount, his burial places. And he sent and he took the bones out of the sepulchers and he burned them upon the altar and polluted it according to the words that the Lord, which the man of God proclaimed, who proclaimed these words. That prophet that came back in 1 Kings 13, when he talked to the altar, this is what he's talking about. It come to pass. Josiah said, we've killed all the living ones. There's the bones of them ancestors that lied to us. We're going to get them bones too. Pull them out of the ground. I'm going to grind them up, burn them right here on the altar. And he fulfilled the word of God, didn't he? Verse 17. And he said, what title is that I see on that one? There's a grave over there. What's the headstone say? And the men of the city told him, it's the sepulcher of the man of God, which came from Judah, and proclaimed these things that thou hast done against the altar of Bethel. That's the guy that talked about you doing this. That's him. He said he had to be buried there, that prophet did later on in Kings, 1 Kings. And he said, let him alone. Let no man move his bones. That man believes God just like I do. Don't you touch him. Don't break a bone. Don't you move him. So they let his bones alone, the bones of the prophet that came out of Samaria. He was cleaning that house. Our Lord did that twice. You know that? In John 2, the Jews' Passover was at hand. That's going to be real important. I'll emphasize that when we're in John 2, but I'll tell you in a minute. Jews' Passover, because it's just ceremony. They're just doing stuff. Well, that's what old people did. That's what our fathers did. And our Lord went in there, and there was this, you can just have drive-through. You don't want to make a sacrifice. Give me $20. I'll go cut up a little bit of a sheep. Well, how many kids you got? Okay, well, you get the five-pack. We got combos running this weekend. And he went in there, and he flipped that place upside down. And he said, take these things hence, and make not my father's house a house of merchandise. We ain't in here to have bake sales and plays and everything else. You knock it off right now, it's the Lord's house. I know pastors that said, you sit down, you'll be all right. Or you take that off, or you wake up, or whatever. And I got told to wake up a few times. Woo! Hurts when it hits us, don't it? Our Lord did that twice in Matthew 21. He threw those tables, the money changers, and he cut that scourge out. He scourged the temple. There's 30, 45,000 people there. He said, it is written, my house should be called the house of prayer, but you made it a den of thieves. Does that mean we just come in here and hum? No, we pray through our songs, right? Our psalms that we sing, our prayer. Somebody leads us in public prayer. We pray together unto the Lord and ask him and the reading of his word, and most importantly, the preaching, the primacy of preaching. If the Lord uses the preaching, then we'll thank him in song, and we'll thank him, we'll understand what we read, and we'll have a God and a heart to praise to him, and we'll have a mediator, right? That's what this house is for, nothing else. What's the outcome of that, of the Lord purging this temple? He said the blind and the lame came into him in the temple, and he healed them. He kicked everybody out. Blind folks came. Were they offended? They didn't care. What did he ask him, Pharisees? Or they asked him, they said, well, you saying we're blind? He said, no, if you're blind, you've got sin. You ever been blind? God, if the Lord's gave you eyes, you see, don't you? Verse 19, and all the houses, of also the high places that were in the city of Samaria, which the kings of Israel had made to provoke the Lord to anger, Josiah took away. He took it away. You're taking everything away from us. Yeah, you're welcome. I mean it. I've been told that. Kevin, you're taking stuff away. You're welcome. It's according to this word. I ain't wrong. You're welcome. I don't shoot from a hip. You're welcome. He took all those things away, Josiah did, and did to them according to all the acts he'd done in Bethel. He burned every bit of it because it ain't worth it. It's done. It's done. And he slew all the priests of the high places that were upon the altars, and he burned men's bones upon them, and he returned to Jerusalem. He got done. He went home. Every one of our enemies, every one of our false accusers, everything that troubles us, that's against us in this world, and there's plenty of it. If you can't see that Satan's mightily at work in this place, you're blind. He's strong at work. The Lord's going to handle every bit of it, and then he's going to go sit on his throne. He's already done that, hasn't he? Where's he seated now? It's finished. He's crushed the serpent's head. It's done. Now we got to go through it. We have to go through his fiery trials. We got to go through his valley of the shadow of death. But he's with us. It's done. This is short. And I can't mess it up, Matt. I mess me up. And I'll get thumped on the head a little bit. But I can't undo what God did. That's good news. Well, with everything done, what did he do? Verse 21. The king commanded all the people, young and old, saying, keep the Passover unto the Lord your God, as is written in the book of this covenant. That Passover, that feast, you're going to keep it. Just as God says so. Surely there was not holding such a Passover from the days of judges that judged Israel, nor in all the days of the kings of Israel, nor of all the kings of Judah. They ain't never had a Passover like this. Why? We're going to get it now. In the 18th year of Josiah, when the Passover is holding to the Lord in Jerusalem. Amen, worship thee, man. That's it. It wasn't the Jews' Passover. It wasn't Grandma and Grandpa's Passover. It was the Lord's Passover. It was unto the Lord, wasn't it? That feast he gave them. He said, we're going to do the Passover. And this ain't a sacrament. It's not something they did to receive grace. That's a lie. Heretics say that. It's a token. The Lord said, when I pass over you in Exodus, he said, you put the blood on the post and on the door frame. And he said, and you're going to see it. You're going to see it as a token. And when I see it, I'll pass over you. That blood didn't do nothing. That's the blood of bulls and goats. It's the blood of his son. That's what the Passover is. The Passover is not a thing. It's a person. Christ is our Passover. You get that? Christ is our Passover. He's the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. It's him. You get that? Just like circumcision. The Lord said, circumcision of your flesh, foreskin, it's going to be a token of the covenant. That's just the outward. It's just something to remind you. That's all that is. And he said in Exodus 12, the blood shall be for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. The plagues shall not destroy you. Plagues are coming. Earwigs all over the place. Plagues are coming. They ain't going to bother you. You'll be all right. You're going to hear them frogs chirping. Ribbit, ribbit, ribbit. It's like raining frogs. It's going to keep you up too. It ain't going to bother you. You're mine. You're under the blood. I'll smite the land of Egypt, but I ain't going to smite you. That's Passover. He said, you do this in the first month of the 14th day of the month of an even month, and you'll eat unleavened bread until the end of that month. What'd Josiah do on the 14th day? They had the Passover. What's Passover now? Preaching the lamb slain before the world was. Telling about Christ and him crucified. The Lord gave that physical feast. Why? Mommy and daddy's got to learn. Who's going to teach them? He's going to say a manna for his own heart. Teach them right. You can't. Practice. I'm going to quote Bobby Knight. Practice does not make perfect. Perfect practice makes perfect. You can preach all you want. If you're preaching lies, it ain't going to do nobody no good. If you're wrong, if you ain't got a good handle on the gospel, it ain't going to do nobody no good. Now stop it. He said, when it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, what do you mean by this service? Why are we doing this Passover, Daddy? Why are we going to burn the lamb? Why are we going to gird up our loins? Why are we going to put this blood everywhere? You tell them. God brought us out of Egypt. Well, that means we got to memorize Egypt and go make a pilgrimage. No. He brought us out of sin and death and all that religious paganism we were just steeped in, and we didn't think we was doing nothing wrong. He sent his son to die for us while we were fighting him. And that's why he saved us. And now we're going to thank him and we're going to do what he says on the 14th day. And so he told us, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And so whenever we do it, I'm going to stand up on my hind legs and I'm going to tell people, man ain't nothing. Christ is all. Bow to him. Bow to him. That's Passover. I'll keep you from turning. The Passover was talked a little bit more about Second Chronicles 35. You can read that when you get home. That'd be something good for you to do if you want something to do. And it said Josiah kept the Passover and he encouraged the high priest to the service of the house of the Lord. He said, now we're going to serve God. Here's how you're going to do it. It's going to be according to this. Thus saith the Lord. That's what he did. And he said, you're going to put that holy ark back in there in the Holy of Holies. That mercy seat, that propitiation, right? That's what you're going to do, that bloody sacrifice. And you'll prepare this house. And he said, you're going to go kill that Passover and get your brethren ready. And we're going to do this according to the Lord, word of the Lord by the hand of Moses. How are they going to do that? That was a lot of people, wasn't it? That was left. All you that's alive, come over here. Here's what the king did. That cornerstone, Josiah, he gave to the people. He said, we're going to worship the Passover. We're going to perform the Passover. And he gave to the people of the flocks and lambs, the kids, for all that were present, the number of 30,000 and 3,000 bullocks, and all were the king's substance. That's what our cornerstone does. The Lord said, you're going to have to keep these things. I can't. And he said, I'll provide the lamb. You see that? What did that chief cornerstone do? He was the lamb. He provided himself the lamb. That's what he did. There in our text, verse 24. Moreover, the workers with familiar spirits and the wizards and the images and the idols and all the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah and Jerusalem did Josiah put away, that he might perform the words of the law which were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. And like unto him, there was no king before him that turned to the Lord with all of his heart and with all of his soul and with all of his might, according to all the law of Moses, neither after him arose there any like him. Notwithstanding, the Lord still killed everybody else. Where does that leave us? Christ has performed this for us. Our great King Josiah, our great cornerstone. The work's done. Now, we still got to live through it, don't we? So what are we asking? Lord, send men after your own heart that don't care what people think and they don't fear their faces and let your head just bounce off your forehead, as he told him, and declare Christ to people, no matter the cost. You start seeing what the cost is, and Lord say, you sure? Will you be saved? Will you? I will, Lord. Send people. Let's ask him. Father, forgive us for what we are and our weakness and our selfishness and our looking to ourselves and our putting ourselves first, Lord, and make us faithful. Raise men up for this harvest and those to support them. And make us ask more often. Forgive us for what we are, Lord, and glorify your name greatly on this earth as you promised you will. And keep us and take us home to our fathers in peace. Keep us. It's in Christ's name. Because he's accomplished this already, we ask this, Lord. Amen.